You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Our deeds, not by our rhetoric, but by our actions, not by our promise, but by reality. And today is part of an extraordinary story that's being written by this administration and our brave allies in the Congress. This law that I'm about to sign, finally delivers on a promise that Washington has made for decades to the American people. The Inflation Reduction Act invests $369 billion. To take the most aggressive action ever in confronting the climate crisis and strengthening our energy security.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. There's your magic word. Our climate crisis. That's what this bill is all about and has been from the beginning. But they're trying to pass it off as it's your bread and butter. This is August 17, 2022. That's President Biden yesterday signing the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act, saying the American people won, the special interests lost. He said, we have definitely shown that we're going to make things better for Americans. This bill, I remind you again, by every nonpartisan analysis, will reduce annual inflation by only 0.1 percentage points in the near future. By that, I mean the next 2, 3, 5 years, maybe. Now, the other thing inside this bill, which is interesting, is that Biden has basically opened the door for some things that I don't think the environmentalists were paying close enough attention, or partly it was a deal maybe that he was going to do with Manchin to get him to sign on. It's $739 billion Inflation Reduction Act. But as he heard him say, it's the greatest thing in history when it comes to green energy. And by that, it's how much it's going to be spending on green energy. You want to know who's already also excited about it? Justin Trudeau, Canadian Prime Minister. It's official POTUS signed legislation that will include Canada and a new tax incentive for electric vehicles purchased in the U.S. This bill has several green energy provisions opposed by the fossil fuel industry. It also orders the Department of Interior to take a series of steps to boost fossil fuel production on federal lands and waters. So there's a question as to what's going to happen first in what order and who's going to stall out. But moments after the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act was signed, even Senator Manchin was being quoted as saying, it's not really going to do anything for Americans immediately. I mean, you can't just flip a switch and make things better. I thought that was the whole idea. We're going to flip a switch with the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act and everything's going to be better. Now we know better because it's signed and is going into law. We're going to get into that, of course, in great detail in the second hour, some in this hour as well. I remind you again, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You go to rumble.com right now, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA. It'll take you to our page. You'll see past rumbles, and you can quickly push the button to join us in studio. And, of course, another big story happening yesterday came out of Wyoming. One of the primary votes underway, Senator Liz Cheney, one of two Republicans on the January 6th committee as appointed by Nancy Pelosi, losing by 37 points her opponent that was endorsed by Trump. And Cheney's now comparing herself to Lincoln. She opened a run to the White House, if so, which party? Our guest today, Jordan Boyd with The Federalist, says Democrats claim no one is above the law, but look what they do. And guest Jonathan Butcher from the Heritage Foundation says parents, you need to take back control of your children's schools. And then we've got Illinois Congressman Adam Kinzinger that's claiming. Listen up. Illinois Congressman Adam Kinzinger basically saying church pastors, Christian church pastors, are preaching cult religion. You want to hear the rest of that story? We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The great and original champion of our party, Abraham Lincoln, was defeated in elections for the Senate and the House before he won the most important election of all. Lincoln ultimately prevailed. He saved our union. And he defined our obligation as Americans for all of history.
There you have it. Liz Cheney, Senator of Wyoming, not for much longer, comparing herself to Abraham Lincoln. Well, she didn't say that in that exact wording, but that's the parallel you're supposed to draw. She said, so I lost the primary. Lincoln had defeats, and he went on to win the Oval Office and lead our nation. Now, when asked directly about, are you thinking about running for our president? Well, she says, I'm thinking, I'm going to make a decision in the coming months. My question to Cheney, are you going to run as a Republican, a rhino, Republican in name only? Do you think you could really collect Republican votes in the Republican Party? Whether or not Trump runs, and certainly if Trump runs, you could give up on that idea. Or will you switch parties? Go Democrat. Could Liz Cheney be the Democrat nominee? I mean, they have no one else. They have no one to point to. And Liz Cheney is looking to them like a martyr. She died on the stake of the January 6th hearings. She and Adam Kinzinger are the only two Republicans on board that Pelosi would allow on board. And she is now the eighth member of Congress that would not be returned to Congress next year because Trump endorsed their opponent in a primary. There was at one time, even CNN admits at one time, she was considered an up-and-comer, but was booted from House GOP leadership last year over unyielding opposition to the former president and trailed in polling back home this year. She helped lead the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. She did overnight file her campaign anyway, filed paperwork with the Federal Election Commission creating a leadership pact to be called the Great Task. To me, that suggests she's already going to start campaigning and pulling in money. But my question again is she going to run as a Republican? Her dad, Dick Cheney, a longtime Republican, she's been Republican all this time. Or will she go to the Democrat side? Trump's endorsements, like it or not, regardless of what you think of Trump, his endorsements have helped close to 200 candidates win, and only about 20 or less endorsements failed to get that win in whatever race they were in at the time. So Cheney, in her remarks to her supporters last night, conceding defeat, losing by 37 points. She was not expected to lose by that much, even by some of the most narrow-minded approaches on how she would race against her opponent, once endorsed by Trump. 37 points. I think the Wyoming Republicans have made it very clear, nope, not interested in you on any Republican ticket. And then Liz Cheney got into the fact that in an NBC interview, while I'm questioning if she's going to stay a Republican and go Democrat, you listen to this interview, you get the impression that she sees everything in the Republican Party that reflects America, and yet she has been against it and the Republican Party and some of these things in so many different ways. And when I say the Republican Party, I'm talking about not just Trumpers, I'm talking about Americans who care about their daily lives. You don't hear her speaking out as stridently against those beliefs that she says now she claims that are being gathered up, collected, and formed into a weapon by the Democrats and the far leftists. Liz Cheney.
Look, I think the Republican Party today is in very bad shape, and I think that we have a tremendous amount of work to do. I think it could take several election cycles, but the country has got to have a Republican Party that's actually based on substance, based on principles, you know, based on a belief in limited government and low taxes and a strong national defense, a belief that the family has got to be the center of our community and of our lives. And those are the principles I believe in. That's what the party used to stand for.
It still does, Liz Cheney. It still does. Those are, whether or not you like it, those are exactly the things that Trump pushes. Pro-life, pro-family. It's the leftists that have been trying to upturn the country with radicalization, teaching critical race theory to our children, teaching them that maybe you're not the sex you were born or that you've identified with all these years, doing everything they can to separate children from their parents. So based upon the statement she just made, is there any way then she can actually transfer to the Democrat Party? Because if she says the Republican Party has been doing all that, she says up until now, she's trying to say, but it hasn't been in the last, since Trump got elected. I beg to differ. Whether, again, you like or hate Trump, the facts are there. We were energy independent. We did not have teaching going on in our schools, teaching our children sex issues way earlier than the appropriate age, much less pushing transgenderism upon them. We didn't have any of that. What's the party that allowed that, fostered it, and allowed it to grow and sprouting and continues to shove it down our children's throat? It's not the Republican Party. Now, Adam Kinzinger, Illinois congressman, the only other Republican on the January 6th committee, was being interviewed about Liz Cheney's loss and the fact that how she had been with him on the January 6th committee and he had new and more respect from her. But he makes some words or says some words here that if any conservative, be they MAGA or just conservative, be it Trump or an even independent, using these words, you would hear the left, the cultists, the wokest come crying out, you can't use those words. Just listen.
My respect for her was huge, by the way, prior to even all this, and it's grown immensely. She's very determined, very dogged, and she will chase Donald Trump to the gates of hell for sure.
Have you talked to her about her candidacy? Have you talked to her in advance of, election night tonight?
Yeah, I've kind of let her, be for the last kind of 12 hours or so or 24 hours. I think she obviously recognizes this is an uphill challenge. I think she made the decision that she's going to go down firing.
Go down firing? You can't reference a gun, go down firing. Is that like Trump saying we're going to raise hell? And then you said here she's going to chase into the gates of hell? Now, of course, that interview of Kinzinger was done before the final tally came in last night, but every piece of writing on the wall said Cheney dies on this hill. But he said, I have tremendous respect, and I believe she will go down firing. Oh, a gun? I really? See, the left and Republican, I should say Kinzinger is, quote, a Republican like Cheney, sopping up in the gravy of the Democrat leftist cultist wokist. They just can't help but use some words sometimes that if you use that word, if you said Trump's going to go down firing, you know what they would do to you, don't you? You know what they would do. All right, let's turn, before I leave that, if Cheney is going to run, the question I raised earlier, would it be as a Republican or Democrat? Now, based on what she said in the earlier bites you heard, she can't possibly take those values to the Democrats. They don't exist there. And Kinzinger is suggesting maybe they don't even exist with the Republicans.
But the bottom line is, I think this is sending a very strong message that this isn't your dad's Republican Party anymore. This isn't a party that's committed to truth. This is a party that's committed to conspiracy. Mark and your prior guest had said something about, people in Congress now don't really believe it. I don't think they do believe the big lie and the conspiracies. What I worry about is the next generation of people that have just been elected. They're going to be here next year. They do believe these conspiracies. That's very frightening.
Well, I wouldn't say they believe. I don't even know what you mean by conspiracies. If you're trying to say that the election was stolen or was fraudulent, are you talking about Hillary Clinton? Because she has yet to admit that she lost fair and square. She still claims the Russians got involved, and she still believes that we should have thrown out the Electoral College and gone by popular vote. So which conspiracy theorist are you talking about, Kinzinger? So we get this bill passed finally by, of course, the Senate the other day by the one vote from VP Harris, and then it gets through the Senate, goes to the House. It finally clears the House without any real problem. And then Joe Biden comes back from vacation wearing a mask, by the way, because he's got COVID. And Jill Biden, of course, coming down with COVID the other day, it was announced. Apparently they did not keep their distance as recorded. Tell everyone else to. And he takes off his mask, walking to the microphone, and goes, puff, puff, into his hand. That didn't look very sanitary for a COVID person. But he takes off his mask to go talking about this great bill. But before he got up, he got all kinds of praise and applause and endorsement from Chuck Schumer.
Thank you, President Biden, for your leadership. This has been a long and grueling process. We wouldn't be here without you. A year and a half ago, you laid out the groundwork for this bill. And like us, you persisted every single day, working closely with my team and our caucus for more than a year to get this bill done. The president deserves tremendous credit for this moment. He knew precisely when to step in and when to let negotiations play out. He knew when to use the bully pulpit and when to bring people together away from the spotlight. He made sure we never lost our focus on climate.
Now, see, again, it's on climate. It's not on you and saving you money. And in fact, right after the signing, Senator Manchin is outside the White House, and he gets a question from a reporter, and you're going to hear that question, his answer, and then, of course, the common voices you hear from the White House defending the president.
Is it misleading to call this the Inflation Reduction Act for Americans when it's not going to make their grocery bill cheaper? It's not going to make everyday goods cheaper for them.
Why would it? Well, immediately it's not, but we never seen anything happen immediately like today. It's turned the switch on and off.
This bill will have immediate impact for the American people, and it will also take on some of the longer-term economic issues that we have never really fully taken on in this country.
You will see that impact, and you talk about prescription drugs. Some of that will roll in a little bit later as they do the negotiations. But some of it will be effective within months. So I think you'll see a real impact for people ASAP.
Oh, ASAP. Well, let's get another response, this time from Senator Mace, Republican, South Carolina.
Well, it's all a lie. I mean, honestly, Biden pinky promises that he's going to reduce inflation with the Inflation Reduction Act. But the truth is, inflation will be affected by 0.25%, a quarter of a point, in about 7 or 8 years. And so it is not going to have an immediate impact. This is all about November and trying to get some momentum. And when Biden says that there's zero inflation, the truth is that was a lie, too. July was 8.5%.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
After 4 years of a president who relished creating chaos, Americans are seeing what it looks like to have a president and a Congress that's focused on delivering results that make their lives better. Mr. President, you've restored dignity, respect, and a sense of action back to the Oval Office. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, Senator Schumer, how much more kiss butt do you want to put into that? Thank you, thank you, thank you. You restored dignity and honor to the White House. It was obviously a shot at Trump. We all know that. And all of those in the room knew it. Trump is kind of, if he is obviously so big in real estate anyway, but if he could charge them for all the space he's got in the Democrats' mind and how often they go into that room and shock themselves, I mean, he would make a ton of money. He is right in their frontal lobe and all over their mind. And everything they do is anti-Trump. That's the basis also of the raid the other day. The raid was not really to find papers. It was to do more to damage Trump, if they can. And again, I want to make it clear to you, in case you happen to be new to the program. First, glad to have you. Secondly, shame on you for being so late joining us. But I've said repeatedly, Trump, when he was running, was not my first, second, or third choice. There were 17, if I recall right, 17 Republican candidates. I didn't rank him at the top of any. But when it came down between him and Hillary Clinton, Hillary Benghazi Clinton, then I had no trouble whatsoever. Plus, I was mainly concerned, as I told the listeners, whoever's in that office is going to have a chance to appoint one, maybe two Supreme Court justices. As it turns out, three. But again, the Democrats are trying to take a victory lap, and they will be going around to different states and so forth, talking about, look what we've done with the Inflation Reduction Act. But already Senator Manchin had said, it won't just suddenly flip a switch. It won't get better for everybody all at once. Well, damn it, I thought that's what we were doing. No, what we were really doing, Larry, is out of that $739 billion bill, they want to point out that it's really going to be fighting green energy. Green energy subsidies will be available and everything else that they need to have come forward to get rid of fossil fuels and everything else. That's the fact, the cold fact they don't really want you to pay attention to. But again, you can't, if you're a Democrat, you just can't pass up a chance to attack Trump, not only reference the 2022 election, but 2024. Just listen again to Biden as he prepared to sign his legacy bill.
And I'm about to sign the Inflation Reduction Act into law, one of the most significant laws in our history. Let me say from the start, with this law, the American people won and the special interests lost. The American people won and the special interests lost. We're in a session of, for a while, people doubted whether any of that was going to happen. But we are in a season of substance. This administration began amid a dark time in America.
A dark time in America, of course, referring to Trump and his followers and anybody that voted for him. No, you didn't take part in January 6th riot. I didn't take part in it, but you're all labeled. We're all labeled and painted with the same brush now. We're part of the dark history. Unless you stand up like somebody like Cheney or Kinzinger and claim that Trump is bad, bad man orange. Senator Mitch McConnell, by the way, which had readily endorsed Cheney in her bid, even though Trump was endorsing her opponent, is yet to comment on her loss. Not one word from his office. Democrats want you to believe that they're all for doing things better for America. They will tell you that no one is above the law when they're pointing at Biden. I mean, when they're pointing at Trump. When they're pointing at Trump, no one is above the law. My next guest says that's what they say. But she has a list of things they did and have done and will be doing. And you tell me, do they really believe no one is above the law?
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
As I was saying in going to the break, you Democrats are always going to tell you we believe that no one is above the law, and they are pointing primarily at former President Trump and you, if you're a Trump supporter. They say that, but Jordan Boyd with the Federalist has compiled a list of saying, don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. Jordan, glad to have you back on board.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you were looking at, of course, basing this article originally off the recent FBI raid on former President Trump's home, and you would hear Democrats and leftists say, and I agree, no one is above the law. So they're saying that's why we can and should do it, although it's still so vague. We're not getting details that we need. We don't have the affidavit. Be a hearing tomorrow that may or may not open it up. But then you began to detail numerous things they did. Let's begin with first on your list, President Joe Biden.
Sure, yeah. Well, like you mentioned, the rule of law is something that Americans in the United States hold very dear, but the same people who are saying no one is above the rule of law, including President Trump, because of this FBI raid, are the people who think they are above this rule of law. And one example is President Joe Biden. I mean, he's avoided paying hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes over the last, 5 years, and no one's given him any criticism for that or scrutiny, largely remained off of the table in terms of investigation or prosecution. And obviously, that's something that Democrats and their allies in the regime cared a lot about when it came to Trump.
Now, let me make it clear. Tax avoidance is legal. Tax evasion is not. You're saying, when you use the word avoidance, you're just saying that there's a lot of taxes that haven't been paid, and we need to find out, was it avoidance based upon the law, or was it evasion? But they're not going to bother.
Exactly. It's something that at least warrants investigation, right? I mean, that's what a lot of these agencies base their actions off of is, well, we have this tip, we have this thing that we think needs further investigation. You know, we think that these boxes in Trump's home warrant further investigation. But what we've seen with Hunter Biden, with Hillary Clinton, with the Pelosi family, with some of these same people who are saying no one is above the law, of course, they're the ones who think that they can walk the edges around what is legal and what is not.
Not only do they think it, they are allowed to and encouraged to, and everyone else, you got to stay inside the coloring lines. Don't go outside. You were talking specifically about the Bidens. You point out that Biden and the First Lady together dodged, you use the word dodge, about 517,000 Medicare and Obamacare taxes between 2017 and 20 without scrutiny. Well, I thought they would be really wanting to support Obamacare with taxes.
You would think so. And you would think, with a lot of these people on this list, you would think that if they cared so much about the rule of law, they would follow. But what we've seen over and over is they're more than willing to exploit the system that they've created to fulfill a political agenda. And unfortunately, the DOJ and FBI have made it very clear that they are also willing to go along with that, which is why none of the people who involved in the Russia hoax against Trump have been punished. I mean, FBI Director Christopher Wray admitted that just a couple of weeks ago during the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing.
Now, the other thing, since you brought up Hunter Biden, because that was second on your list anyway, we all know that by his own admission, and that was on the laptop from hell, which they wanted to ignore forever until 17 months or so after the election, that he had purchased a pistol, signed a federal form that gave a lie on that federal form, which is a felony, and no even investigation of just Hunter Biden and the gun purchase, aside from anything and everything else. That itself, if you happen to be a conservative, would be grounds for them to be in your house, collecting your guns, and coming after you. But what the other issue is, obviously the bigger one, is what was he making under Papa's name and then giving Daddy, and then also what kind of national security threat is being posed?
Exactly. I mean, Hunter Biden has very clearly been documented selling access to his father, who at the time was vice president and who is now president. And that's something that I would think the primary intelligence agencies that are designed to protect Americans and to protect our nation should be invested in and should be investigating and should be going after very rigorously and transparently. But what we're seeing is any investigation into Hunter Biden has largely flown under the table. There aren't questions answered, and any mention or question of it is completely memory-holed by the corporate media and big tech.
And then when we come to Hillary Clinton and, of course, the private server she had and all the materials that were on that server, which we still don't know all of them. We only know what she and her attorneys decided to give to the investigators and declaring the rest of them personal. And when we originally were hearing they were going to the Mar-a-Lago for National Archives records, that Trump took something he shouldn't have, and then some might be sensitive or top sensitive. Of course, the president has a right to declare everything is open, not sensitive. But nobody bothered to really dig into that issue with Hillary and what was on those servers, even though the FBI director at the time, Comey, said, yes, it was wrong, but we don't think we'll ever find a reasonable prosecutor that would want to prosecute.
Exactly. I mean, the Hillary situation is the one that drove the most parallels with the Trump situation, but the way the FBI handled it was drastically different. I mean, even Senator Chuck Grassley put it last week. He said the FBI inexplicably agreed to destroy Clinton staffers' laptops, knowing that the contents were the subject of congressional subpoenas and preservation letters. So the FBI didn't just failed to further investigate or prosecute this or pass it along for prosecution, they actually helped cover it up.
Yes, and that's a big point. And, of course, Clinton, every time when she was running, I'd always refer to as Hillary Benghazi Clinton. You point that out also in your article.
Yeah, I mean, everyone involved in Benghazi, that was a huge lapse of judgment on the part of many bureaucrats, many people who should be under the oversight of these same agencies that seem to want to beat down conservative doors. Yet, were they ever punished for trying to cover up a fatal scandal that left four Americans abandoned and dead? No, they weren't.
You've got so many on here, I'm going to have to start narrowing the list because of the time. But one of them right away is Gavin Newsom and every other Dem who was seen out having a party while Americans were suffering.
Yeah, I mean, these are Democrats who created COVID rules. They mandated that people stay in their homes, they stay locked down, yet they went out and violated their own rules. And while, you know, some of those rules were less law and more just executive action on the part of certain elected officials, why do they get to escape accountability? Why were they above those rules? You know, the only reason that they got away with that is because the party that permits certain people to get away with it let them.
The same party that allowed and almost encouraged, and even the VP actively helped get those some out of jail for the summer of 2020 riots, burnings, lootings, arson, assault on police happening repeatedly across the nation. But all the focus of the Democrats has been January 6th.
Exactly. They focused their efforts completely on people who may not have even breached the Capitol, who may have just been near the grounds or in Washington, D.C. on the day of January 6th. But the same people who left more than $2 billion of private and federal property damaged over the course of a summer were let off the hook. I mean, quite literally, rioters in Portland were dismissed by the federal government. They said, we're not going to prosecute you for your crimes. That's utterly absurd coming from the same agency that wants to dredge up something and hasn't provided proof for why they raised a former president's house.
Nancy Pelosi is on your list.
Yes, the Pelosi family, of course, has quite a few ties to the stock market. They've been suspected.
And nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having ties to it. But how you get the information, what you're doing with it.
Exactly. And Nancy Pelosi, obviously presiding over Congress, gives her a lot of privileged information. And so far, you know, it appears that her and her family have used that, or they've just really conveniently timed that. You know, that seems like something that should be investigated. Why does the Pelosi family get rich every time there's a congressional hearing with certain kinds of tech companies? And yet no one said a peep about digging through her files or looking through her husband's stuff.
And Pelosi appointed and continues to allow Eric Swalwell to serve on the House Intel Committee, despite the FBI saying he was having a liaison with a Chinese female spy.
Yeah, I mean, I think canoodling with a known spy for the nation's number one enemy seems like that should be a pretty high priority for the intelligence agency sworn to protect the nation. Yet he, for a long time, sat as a member on the House Intelligence Committee, you know, still getting access to privileged information. And then obviously in his position was giving foreign spies access to key U.S. government offices and other that privileged information. Yet he's still comfortable in his spot. He hasn't been removed. He hasn't been prosecuted. He hasn't been investigated.
In our final 30 seconds or so, you list also themselves, the same people who control the enforcement of law, who love lording that no one's above the law, are the ones that are failing.
Yeah, it's no surprise that the DOJ and FBI have skirted a lot of attempts at oversight. And even though they have a long history of botched and politicized investigations, I mean, they've failed on all fronts, yet they face little to no accountability from anyone.
Well, hopefully we'll be changing that. Jordan Boyd of The Federalist, thank you very much for your time. A litany of items. Again, her article is in The Federalist. Democrats, no one is above the law. Take a look at it. Coming up, look what's happening in these homeless cities, and in particular one where residents say, that's it, we're selling. If we can get a buyer, we're moving. We're moving.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, we see you here all the time. I said, yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador. Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
Love and happiness. Wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, talking about how she can make it right. Yeah.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Reminding you, we are live streaming at rumble.com while we are on the air live for you. So you can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors USA, and you can push the button and join us in studio. You can also subscribe, have it delivered directly to you, and the same with our podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com. Cost you nothing. Subscribe. We do not sell your information to anyone, and we'll make sure you get every program, that you don't miss any of them. The sheriff in the Portland region pointed out back in April, he said, violent crime is already increasing, and it's going to get worse as we move into summer. At that time, there were 102 in jail for murder or attempted murder at the beginning of April. That was the most since the mid-1990s. Now jump ahead to where we are now. Residents in one Portland, Oregon neighborhood are resorting to selling their homes and moving. Why? The violence and also the number of homeless encampments right outside their front doors. One North Portland resident said, it's a little scary. I know there's mental illness, and that concerns me. Many residents have said, or some have said, that at least 3 families on one street have left in recent days, and more homeless camps are popping up. And there are more for sale signs up and down the streets. Who wants to buy a home in an area with homeless encampments all around it, or maybe in your yard? Raise your hand. I'm looking. I don't see any hand going up. One real estate broker said, I would say migration to the suburbs. I've seen quite a bit in the last 2 years. Most people don't want to have to worry if they leave their car parked in their driveway overnight without having it broken into. It's pretty testy. She said she now studies neighborhoods to see if there are homeless camps in a given area while working with potential buyers. She said it's neighborhood by neighborhood. You can be driving through North Portland. You're in this lovely area. No issues. You make a turn at the corner, you have homeless camps spread out all in front of you. Said, it's kind of sad. I've been doing this for 10 years in Portland, and it's changed quite a bit. Now, why did it change? Well, obviously, the number of homeless up, and a lot of reasons behind that. And yes, social service systems might be of value, and we have a lot of folks that are mentally ill on the streets. That's clear. But we also have some that they are either hooked on drugs or in the process of selling it, or they're involved in criminal activities. And if they are in criminal activities, well, then obviously if you have your car left on your street or even in your driveway, they might well look upon it as a target, because whatever they can get out of that car, they can use to get more drugs. In fact, Portland has now become the home, they say, of Tent City Chop Shops. Tent City Chop Shots, 26-year high in car thefts just in Portland. There used to be a once popular bike path for years across the Peninsula Crossing Trail. Homeless encampments have taken over. No bicyclist dare ride down through that area now. One guy who heads up a neighborhood association said, we're at our wits' end. We don't know what we can do. We tried to come up with something like a Safe Rest Village, which would operate as an organized camp for the homeless run by nonprofits. He said, I think the city and county can do better. We as a community and state can do better. No one feels safe. Generally from the housed community and the unhoused community, many don't feel safe. Yes, he's even talking about the homeless. They don't feel safe either. They don't have as many options. He said, every day you go from one end of the street to the other, you're confronting difficult situations. Sometimes people in dire straits, He said, in my backyard area, there are encampments. Another said, I've lived here 30 years. I'm thinking about I need to get out of here. But, of course, the question is, who's going to buy your house? How much can you get for it? Now, those living in the homeless camps say, and I'm quoting one of them, as apparently was talking to a TV station in Portland, and this is at one of the camps along that Peninsula Crossing Trail where bikers used to routinely enjoy biking. The man talking said, we're the most harmless people you'll ever meet. They shouldn't be scared of us. For what? Because we live outside? That's the only reason you should be scared of us, because we live outside? So if we lived in four walls and a house and stuff, would you still be scared of us? In some cases, yes. In other cases, no. And they're not scared of you if you're living in your tent and you're not causing problems or harms, but it's the what else it attracts. And folks who had bought a home, put their money, their investment into it, raised a family, much less the investment, the loss of all the memories they had there, if they're going to have to move out of that house, not because of a raging fire, not even because of actual direct violence, but what's around them. Because if they're homeless, where do you think they find a place to go to relieve themselves? The problem is, it is bigger and it's allowed to exist in mostly blue cities and states because they just kind of, you know, well, you know, they're entitled to have their all freedom and so forth. We do need to do more to help. I don't have the answer, but I understand those who want to leave and do have fear. Coming up, more on the so-called Inflation Reduction Comedy Act.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.